Let's turn together now in our Bibles for our New Testament reading, this time in John 14. We'll also be looking at Lord's Day 45 in just a few minutes. But first, let's read from John 14. And just a couple verses there in John 14. We'll start at verse 12 and read to verse 14. And then in a few minutes, we'll look at Lord's Day 45. So let's read together from John 14, starting at verse 12. John 14 at verse 12, that's found on page 1071. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." That's as far as reading here in John. Then let's turn in the back of our Psalter hymnals, looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, continuing our series. And we're going to be reading question and answer 116, 117, and 118. So that's found on page 893 in the back of our Trinity songbooks, Lord's Day 45. We just finished our series through the Ten Commandments, and now we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer, and this is an introduction to the Lord's Prayer. So Lord's Day 45, and let's respond with the answer together. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. Question answer 117, how does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God, who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. And then finally, 118, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. And that particular prayer is the Lord's Prayer, found in question and answer 119. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of His Word, and that it would be administered to us this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever been talking to someone and it has become abundantly clear to you that they are not really listening? You continue to talk about something that is interesting to you or something that's going on in your life, and you can see by their demeanor, by their actions, that they are not really paying attention. Their eyes may be looking this way and that. They may fold their arms across in front of them. They may be looking for an exit, wanting to depart from this particular conversation. But whatever reason it might be, it's no fun talking to someone who is not really interested in listening to you. The question before us today is this: is God ever too busy or too distracted to listen to our prayers? Is it ever a fact that God is too busy or too preoccupied that He is not listening to us? Sometimes, unfortunately, we have this view of our God, that God is not concerned, or God does not care, or God is not really listening to our prayers. Do prayers actually make a difference? why should we pray? And that's the very question before us today. Perhaps an illustration can help us kind of get at the answer to this question of why we should pray. The closest I can think of in a relationship between us and God when it comes to our prayers is a relationship between a parent to their children. Do parents want to listen, want to hear from their kids, from their children? I'll even be more specific. Let's say that your child is moving off to college. Do parents enjoy? Do they appreciate? Do they want to hear from their children? Do they delight to hear when their children call upon them? Well, most of the time, I would say, yeah, parents are excited. They delight. They wish their kids would call and talk to them more often, unless their children are calling to complain or they're rude. But most of the time, parents enjoy receiving a phone call from their children, particularly if that child calls mom and dad and says to mom and dad, I want to thank you for everything you have done for me. I want to thank you for how much you have sacrificed, how you have supported me, how you have cared for me for all these years. If that's the kind of phone call that your child is going to give you, I imagine every parent here would be delighted to hear a phone call like that. If that child is calling to say thank you, that is the kind of call, the kind of message that we want to hear. Well, today we are going to see that one of the main purposes of prayer is to do just that. Prayer is our calling to God to tell him how thankful we are. When I looked at some of the definitions for prayer, some of the definitions for prayer is something like this. Prayer is asking God for what he has promised to give. Prayer is our asking of God for things. Is that definition missing something? Is there a significant component to prayer that is missing? Prayer is often looked at as we are telling God what we want. And even more righteously, a definition would be a prayer is acknowledging what we need. But what's often missing is simply this. Prayer is an act of gratitude, an act of thanksgiving. It's telling God, thank you for what he has already given. In fact, the parts of prayer summarized by the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But if your prayers are like mine, we often skip the first three sections, and our whole prayer is all asking. It's telling God the things that we want or the things that we think that we need. But our catechism before us says this: prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. Prayer is gratitude. In this ordering of the parts of prayer, we see confession and praise and thanksgiving before we even begin to ask God for the things that we need. God's people calling on his name is a necessary and an important aspect of all of God's people. In fact, as we looked at in Genesis 4, this was with our men's Bible study, shortly after the fall, we find people calling upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4, people calling upon the name of the Lord. In fact, the line of the woman and her seed, which is the church, is distinguished from the line of the serpent in this particular way. Only those who are part of the covenant, only those who acknowledge their need, who are thankful for the gifts that God has given, those are the people found in the covenant of grace. So today we look at this theme. Jesus Christ both teaches and enables his people to pray properly. Jesus Christ teaches us and enables us to pray properly. In our first point, then, we consider the foundation of prayer. If prayer is designed to be a conversation between God and man, where God speaks to us in his word and we respond to God by praying to him, how is it that finite creatures can speak to an almighty, infinite God? What gives us the right, or who gives us the right, to call upon God's name? And why is it that God would listen to us? Well, first of all, we have to remember prayer is not an imposition. Prayer is not like a peasant banging on the doors of a castle demanding an audience with the king. That is not what prayer is like. Prayer is the heartfelt calling of a child to a loving father who has told that child, "I want you to call upon me. I want you to call upon me." Dearly loved children who are instructed, that's what we are instructed by the Father, call upon me. I want you to pray. Prayer is not an imposition. Prayer is not doing something that God does not want us to do. It's the very thing God says, you need to pray. Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. In fact, Matthew 6, verse 8 puts it, our Father knows what you need even before you ask, but he wants you to come to him and to bring your prayers, your petitions, your concerns, your cares, and your thanksgivings to him. And he delights in it. He delights in hearing the prayers of his people. More than that, he promises to answer the prayers of his people. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. God promises to hear and answer our prayers even while we're in the process of praying. Daniel experienced that firsthand. In the middle of his prayer, God sent an angel with an answer while Daniel was still praying. So it is with our prayers. God, the Father, delights to hear our prayers and in his providence has ordained prayers to be answered. Prayer is built upon an established relationship, and that relationship is one of love. So how is it that finite creatures can call upon the infinite God? It is because the infinite God has said to the creature, I want you to call upon me. I want you to pray. But how about fallen finite creatures? How is it that sinners can pray to a holy God? Well, the next aspect in this foundation is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because not only is prayer something where the Father says to us, I want you to call upon me because I'm your loving Father, Jesus Christ has opened the door for us, paved the way, if you will, so that we have the right of access to come into the presence of a holy God. And that's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's John 14, verse 13. When you pray, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So when we are praying to our Father, we are coming to the Father wrapped in the robes of Jesus Christ. Our prayers are covered in the blood of the Lamb. And that's what gains access to a holy God. Jesus Christ is not only the one who taught us how to pray, that's in the Lord's Prayer, he is the one who enables us to pray. This is question and answer 118, if you still have your catechism open. He secured the right of access so that we can pray. We can stand in the presence of a holy God without fear of being consumed in our sins because Jesus Christ has enabled us, has established and secured our access. But more than that, Jesus Christ not only secured the access for us to pray, he is himself praying for us. What is Jesus Christ doing right now in heaven? Well, as our perfect high priest, Jesus Christ is interceding for us. He is praying for us. As Jesus is praying for us at the Father's right hand, he is pouring out his grace and spirit upon us. That's Romans 8, verse 34, where we find Jesus interceding at the Father's right hand. Let me pause for a moment of application. When it comes to the power of our prayer, it is not found in our knowledge. It's not found in our ability. The power of prayer is not found in our ability to persuade. We do not need to twist God's arm, if you will. He is not begrudging in his giving. Added to this, the effectiveness of prayer is not found in our eloquence. It's not found in our smooth words. It's not found in our verbose verbiage. The power of prayer is rooted in the greatness of our God. The cry of the heart is even sufficient speech. So we come to the third component in the foundation of our prayer, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do in our prayers? The Holy Spirit puts into words the groans of our hearts. That's Romans 8, verse 26. So even if you don't know what to pray or don't know how to say it, the Holy Spirit takes your desires, takes your concerns, brings it to the Father, and puts it into words. Because sometimes all we can muster in prayer is a groan, is a sigh. I know some of you, when it comes to praying for others, are praying for yourselves, but particularly when you have a friend or family who is going through a difficult, trying time, health difficulty, it's like, I don't even know what to pray. That's okay. It's okay if you don't know what to pray, because we don't have all the answers, but we know God does, and it's okay to say, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer, Lord, and I don't even know what to pray for this person. But the Holy Spirit takes that desire, takes that prayer, and brings it to the Father. And it's a sweet-smelling aroma. Prayer is a Trinitarian work. We're praying to the Father because the Father says, I want you to pray. We're praying in the name of the Son because the Son has shed his blood to secure the access for us to come into the presence of a holy God. We pray in the strength of the Spirit who enables us, who gives to our sighs and groans the very words that are necessary. As we can see, prayer itself is a gift. Prayer is a great gift from our gracious God, and a gift for which we give thanks. Well, now that we understand the foundation of prayer, in our second point, we look at why it is that we need to pray. Our catechism says, why do we need to pray? Why does a Christian need to pray? That's question answer 116. Why is it that God's people will be people of prayer? Why is it that the temple and the church is called the house of prayer? Well, the first reason that prayer is necessary is because God says you need to pray. Why do we need to pray? Because God calls us to pray. Prayer is an act of obedience. God says in your word, call on me. So as God's people, we receive the word and we call on God. Let my people call upon me, as we read in Psalm 50. It's not a question of if. God's people will be people of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, we pray without ceasing. Prayer is a necessary part of our life, and it is a response of gratitude that God requires of us. Question answer 116. So we are to offer, we are to perform, we are to call out on our God in prayer because our God calls us to pray. But not only is prayer necessary in a general sense, specifically we are called to pray with thanksgiving. Prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Why do we need to pray? It's because God wants to hear of our gratitude. He wants to hear us acknowledge what he has done and what he has given. He wants to hear from his children. Going back to the earlier illustration, God wants to hear from his children gratitude. Thank you, God, for everything you have done. Thank you for the gifts that you have given to me. Not just the tangible gifts like my house and my car, measure of health, strength, and life, but thank you for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the blessings of full pantries, yes and amen, but thank you for the immeasurable gift of kingdoms and crowns and glory and forgiveness of sins. Prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. The first reason we need to pray is because God commands us, you need to pray. The second reason we need to pray is because as a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, we will do what Jesus did. Earlier in, we read it from John 14, verse 12, where Jesus says this, "Whoever believes in me will do the works that I did." Jesus says that if you believe in Jesus, you will do the things that Jesus did and what Jesus is doing. As the body of Christ, as a disciple of Christ, we will do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus was a man of prayer. A few examples when it comes to the prayer is the disciples coming to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then he gave his disciples the Lord's Prayer. A high priestly prayer, John 17, the prayer in the garden before he was betrayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. Even on the cross, he cried out to God. The fact is, Jesus' life exemplifies a life of prayer. So when we are following after Christ, we are called to do what Christ did and be people of prayer. Even as Jesus taught us, at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, start by saying, "Our Father." He is the Father of the church, but he is also the Father of the Son. So in our prayers, we are blending our prayers with Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray and continues to pray for us even this day. Jesus prays without ceasing. And those who are united to Christ by faith will be consistent in prayer as Jesus did. The third reason why we need to pray is because of our weakness and the presence of various trials. We are weak, and in prayer we cry out to the fountain and source of every good and perfect gift. We are pleading for strength from the one who makes us strong. We have our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh. We face trials, temptations. We need to be rescued, delivered, saved. Deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into evil. Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. Do we face trials and temptations? Do you have troubles anywhere? Then take it to the Lord in prayer. In prayer, we are opening ourselves up to the source of true and lasting strength. So why do we need to pray? It's because we face trials. Then finally, the fourth reason we need to pray is because we have many needs. We are dependent on God. And in prayer, we acknowledge we need from our God everything for our body and our soul. Question answer 116, do you need God's grace? Do you need God's Spirit working in your heart? If you do, then pray for it. If you want to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth, if you want to be sanctified, if you want to be kept from temptation and Satan's snare, then we need to pray. Because God gives his grace and Spirit to those who ask and thank him when those gifts are received. In this way, we can, as Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, be in prayer at all times in the Spirit. That's Ephesians 6, verse 18. So we need to be people of prayer because our needs are many, And we acknowledge that it is only God who can give us, who can meet these respective needs. Well, now that we have considered these various aspects of prayer and why we need to pray, in our final point then, we look at the attitude of prayer. Since prayer is necessary, a required part of our daily lives, what should our prayers look like? Or what is the attitude of the heart when it comes to our prayers? Question answer 117 outlines for us what kind of prayer is pleasing to God, and by assumption, it also makes clear what kind of prayers are not pleasing to God. So there are certain kinds of prayers, I will say there are certain kinds of people whose prayers are pleasing to God. And there are other kinds of people, other kinds of prayers that are not pleasing to God. So what kind of attitude is necessary in order for your prayer to be pleasing to God? I'll go back one more time to the illustration. What kind of attitude do you hope your child has when they call you? Do you want your child to be grumbling and complaining, a bad attitude? Do you want your child to be angry, rude, whiny, complaining? Then you may not enjoy talking to them. But if your child calls with humility and gratitude, then that is the kind of conversation that fills the heart with joy. In a similar way, God delights in a prayer that comes from a heart that is moved by faith. The heart of a child who recognizes his dependency, a heart of humility. And a heart of a child that knows that their father is loving and will give what is necessary. Confidence. So there's humility, there's faith, there's confidence. When we recognize our need, humble ourselves before God and ask Him to give what He has promised, this is the prayer that pleases God. Well, what then are the prayers that are not pleasing to God? Well, I can think of a very specific parable where we have a proud Pharisee who comes to God in prayer and lists all the things that he has done, comes with a proud heart boasting in his own works. I thank you, God, that I'm so much better than everyone else. I thank you, God, that I'm better than this sinner over here. It is that kind of prayer that is not pleasing to God. And it is that kind of person that does not receive justification. It is the sinner who calls out for grace. It is the one who is humble that beats his breast and says, "Have mercy on me, God." That is the prayer that is heard. That is the person who is justified. And there are also specific things that God calls us to pray for, and He delights to give. Do you know that there are certain prayers that we can pray that God guarantees, promises He will give us every time we ask? Do you want to know what that is? When our prayer is for God to be glorified and our sins to be forgiven, every time you pray that, God will give you the yes and the amen. Every time you pray, may you be glorified. Forgive my sins. God promises to give His grace and Spirit to those who ask. So if you ask God to forgive you and to save you from your sins, He will never say no. He will always say yes. He will never turn away someone who calls and cries out to Him. It is this kind of prayer, the humble, childlike heart of faith, that God delights to hear and answer. But there's one more aspect to prayer that we have to consider very briefly, is that when it comes to prayer, we have to learn to submit to God and trust that He will answer it according to His will and design. how and when God answers your prayers is up to Him. He may not answer you the way that you expect or in the time that you are expecting, but by faith we know God always hears and answers. So we learn to pray as Jesus prayed, "Not my will, your will be done." To conclude, today we've only begun our study of prayer, and in the following weeks we'll look at Lord's Prayer and each of its petitions. But our theme for today is simply this: Jesus Christ teaches and enables His people to pray properly. Our God is never too busy. He's never preoccupied. He's never unconcerned. He's never distracted. He always delights to hear our prayers. So may our prayers be offered up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a pleasing aroma in His sight, acceptable in His ears, as we come to a loving Father in the name of Jesus Christ and in the strength of His Spirit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the gift of prayer, and we thank You for opening prayer to us, that we can come into Your presence without the fear of being rejected, but with the boldness and even confidence of a child who will be heard, whose petitions will be received, and whose requests will be answered in Your good time. May prayer, O Lord, be to us something that we desire, something that we delight. Teach us to be people of prayer. May we pray without ceasing as we offer our entire lives as a sacrifice of praise to Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.